This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I would like to discuss with you today a very important issue that I've been asked about recently from many people have been asking, which is, what is the Islamic ruling on conducting and carrying out marriages and nikah over Zoom, online, over the phone, etc.? And I felt that a lot of people have misunderstood, or they've not really understood, what a nikah is Islamically and how a nikah takes place. There are people who, because of lockdown, etc., and the COVID situation, they've been asking whether you can do a nikah online. So the brother is in one country, the sister is in another country, the witnesses are in another country, etc., etc. So there's a lot of people are asking about marriages online, on Zoom, on phone, etc. So I want to explain briefly how a nikah takes place and what are the basic requirements of a nikah. And what I will discuss, inshallah, will be mainly based on the Hanafi school of thought, but it's more or less same in the other madhabs as well, with slight differences in some, you know, side issues. So there might be some differences which should be checked in the other madhahib, inshallah ta'ala. So what is a marriage nikah, and how does a marriage take place in Islam? To be honest, marriage and nikah is a very simple affair. It takes place very easily, like in a matter of few seconds. 5 seconds it takes to get married. Like I always say, nikah and talaq, marriage and divorce, both take place really, really quickly and very easily. Divorce, talaq, a man says to his wife, he has divorced her. It took 2 seconds. I have divorced you. It took 2 seconds. He's saying to his wife, I have divorced you. In 2 seconds, talaq took place, marriage ended. Likewise, nikah as well, there's only 2 statements. You have a statement of what we call offer, ijab, and the statement of qabul, which is acceptance. So you have these 2 statements, literally takes about 5 seconds. So, and everything else around it is actually a sunnah or mandub or recommended, like the walima, etc. So how does the nikah takes place? The basic requirements for a valid marriage in Islam are the following. You have 2 statements, a statement of offer, in Arabic we term that as ijab, and you have a statement of qabul, acceptance. So the statement is, a statement of offer is basically, for example, a woman saying, I have given myself to you in marriage. That's a statement of offer. And the corresponding statement is called the statement of qabul, acceptance. The man says, I have accepted you in my marriage. So there's these 2 statements. I'm not saying people right now. 2 statements. The statement of offer, ijab, and the statement of qabul, acceptance. Both of these 2 statements take place physically in a session gathering in the presence of 2 male witnesses, Muslim male witnesses, or 1 male and 2 female witnesses. So the offer and acceptance physically in a gathering in the presence of 2 witnesses. Now, the reason why I said the 2 statements are not 2 people, because this ijab and qabul, these statements of offer and acceptance, can be carried out by the 2 people who are marrying themselves or someone else on their behalf. So the offer, ijab, from the female herself or her wali, guardian, or a wakil, someone who she appointed as an agent to pronounce that offer on her behalf. And acceptance, which will be from the male, it could be male or female. Anyone could make any of the 2 statements. So the statement of offer could be male, female, and the statement of qabul could be male, female. But let's say in the scenario in which normally takes place, that the statement of offer is from the female. So it could be the female herself, or her representative or her guardian, and the statement of acceptance, qabul, could be from the, you know, the groom, the man, the male who's marrying himself, or it could be his agent or his wali or someone on his behalf. So basically, for a marriage to be valid, you need at least four people in one gathering physically, not online. You need at least four people. The two people who are getting married not necessarily be there, but you need four people at least in that room physically, not on Zoom. So those four people will be the two witnesses. So if it's two male, Muslim male witnesses are physically there, right? And there's two other people. Who are the other two people? It could be the two people who are marrying. So you've got the bride and the groom, the man and the woman who are marrying, and the two witnesses. All four of them sitting in this room, okay? The female says, I have given myself to you in marriage. And the man is saying, I have accepted you in my marriage. And the two witnesses understand and hear, nikah is done. That's it. That's the basic requirement of marriage. As soon as that takes place, it takes 7 seconds. The two witnesses are sitting, hearing, understanding. They can understand what they are saying clearly. And they know the two people who are getting married. And the woman says to the man, I have given myself to you in marriage. And he says, I have accepted you in my marriage. That took 5 seconds. A nikah is valid, done in 5 seconds. So you have those four people physically. Or, like I said, you have to have four people minimum. So you've got the two witnesses, but instead of the two people who are marrying being physically there, one of them is there, the man is there, the groom is there, but the bride, the female, the woman, she's not there physically. Rather, her representative or her wakil or her agent, wali, wakil, someone on her behalf whom she has given permission, is there. You still need four people minimum. So for example, her father, like many times in the masjid, what happens is that the woman, in many masajid, the woman doesn't come to the marriage ceremony. Her father, her uncle, her wali, her guardian, someone on her behalf, whom she has given clear, explicit permission, will be there. And he will utter the statement of offer the ijab on her behalf. So the imam will ask that, look, have you got permission from your daughter, from your sister, from your niece, etc.? Has she given you permission to marry her off to this man who is sitting here? He says, yes, I have got permission and I give her in the marriage of this man. So he's making the statement of offerance on her behalf. How did she give him permission? Well, it doesn't have to be in person. As long as they know each other, she could give him permission physically in person or over the phone. Like, for example, her uncle is in London and she phones from one city. Say, look, okay, can you please, I give you permission. You can marry me off to that man who is there in London. Or she can write or email or whatever. That doesn't have to be, the permission doesn't have to be given physically. And you don't have to have witnesses on that. It's good to have witnesses. It's recommended, but it's not necessary per se. So in that gathering, you'll have the two witnesses, the man getting married himself, and the representative who we call the wakil. If it's a representative, wakil. If it's the guardian, then we call that guardian, wali, is there in the gathering. And sometimes, even the man who's getting married is not there. So the bride and the groom are not physically there. Rather, both of them have sent a wali, guardian, or a representative. You still need four people, physically, in the gathering, in the room. So you've got the father of the boy and the father of the girl, and the two witnesses. So the girl's father, okay, the guardian, the girl's father says, I give my daughter in the marriage of your son. And the father of the boy says, I accept this marriage on behalf of my son, and I accept your daughter in the marriage of my son. I have accepted. Now, the boy and the girl, one of them's in, you know, Japan, and the other one is Botswana doing something else. But they've been married off by their fathers. But remember, of course, if they've given permission, they both phone their fathers. The girl phoned their father, I'm too busy, I'm somewhere. Okay, please, tomorrow you can get my marriage done. And the boy tells his father that, yeah, I'm too busy doing something as well. I hope they're both not together. But they're in different parts of the world. And can you get my marriage done tomorrow, inshallah? The two fathers go physically. As long as four people are there physically, nikah is done. You just need the ijab. So in summary, ijab from one party, whether it's the person marrying themselves or someone on their behalf, and the qabul, the acceptance by the other party, whether it's the person marrying themselves or someone else on their behalf, this ijab qabul is audible, it's loud, it's done physically in the presence of two Muslim male witnesses or one male and two female witnesses. And when that happens, the nikah is considered to be valid and done. Now, everything else besides that, you don't really need an imam. I mean, it's good to have an imam, but Islamically, an imam is not necessary, because Islam doesn't consider marriage to be like you're going to get blessed. This is not baptism or anything like that. I mean, it's good to have an imam so that at least they know some rules about marriage and they have knowledge about Islam and they might give some nasiha, alhamdulillah. But if you've learned about marriage yourself, then you don't really need an imam. What the imam is reading is a khutbah. It's called the khutbatul hajah. It's called the sermon that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited, which is sunnah. So the imam would recite that. So if, for example, out of the four people, you bring a fifth person who's an imam, fine. But even if you don't, any one of the four people could just recite the khutbah. So the father of the girl could just say, you know what, okay, you go ahead. Okay, I'll go ahead. And he recites the khutbah. Anyone can recite the khutbah. The father of the boy could just recite the khutbah, the sermon, for barakah purposes, in which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the three verses of God consciousness to remind people at the time of marriage to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They recited that khutbah as a form of barakah, blessings, and that sunnah. And then these two statements, the statement of offer, the statement of qabul, ijab qabul, were uttered, the two witnesses heard. Remember, the two witnesses need to clearly, they need to be first of all Muslim, and they need to be either two males or one male and two females. And number three, they need to clearly hear, understand the language. Imagine the two witnesses don't understand English, they only understand Chinese. And these guys are making the offer and acceptance in English. Marriage is not valid. So they need to understand, and they need to understand that a marriage is taking place. You know, they know that, okay, this is a marriage and these two people are getting married, and they can clearly hear. So if that takes place, a marriage is valid. So this shows that, you know, this online and Zoom and these kind of marriages, they're not valid Islamically. It will not be considered to be a marriage. So we have an easy option. Look, marriage over phone, or if you want to get married to somebody who is in another country. So say, for example, the sister, the girl is in the UK. She wants to marry someone who's in America. Now, rather than go online on Zoom and he's sitting there and says, okay, you know, and the imam is in, you know, some people do this. The imam is in Bahrain, okay, some sheikh imam in Bahrain, hayakumullah. The brother is in America, the sister is in the UK, one witness is in South Africa, and the other witness is in Indonesia. Okay, five people on Zoom conference calling. Okay, the imam will say, alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu, he looks the part, he's an Arab imam, mashallah. He'll say, okay, sister, akhukhti, can you please say the ijab? She says, yes, I give myself to you in marriage to the brother in America. The brother in America is saying, I accept you in my marriage. And the one witness is saying, barakallah, mashallah, mabruk, mabruk, from South Africa. And the other one in Indonesia is saying, mubarak, mubarak, you know, I've heard. Five people in five different parts of the world, that marriage Islamically is invalid. I mean, you want to get married like that? I mean, you're not going to meet anyone, but if you start talking and flirting anyway over the phone, that's going to be haram. And if you meet, there'll be zina. So these five people in different parts of the world, nobody is physically anywhere. You need four people physically. Now, you might ask that, how can this sister then get married to that brother who's in America? Because I want to talk to him and I want to like message him and, you know, have an intimate conversation with him before I meet him in about 5 months' time. So it's very simple. It's easy. What you do is, you're a sister in the UK, and what you do is you just appoint an agent in America where the brother is. You could just call a friend or a relative or someone that you know personally, properly. They know you properly. Remember, they need to know you properly, and the witnesses also need to know you. And you know, they don't need to know you like from your whole past history, from your young age, but they need to kind of know your name and your surname and where you live and your parents' name and your father, and some say even your grandfather's name. So even though they've never talked to you, so you can just appoint somebody, an agent there, And that person will sit with the two witnesses and with the brother physically in a room in Chicago, in California, in Toronto, wherever in America, and carry out the nikah, and then just tell you that. And if you want to hear in, if you want to, they could just put that whole session online for you on Zoom, and you could just witness it, and marriage is done. You might say, I don't know anybody, who I can appoint. Well, you can actually even appoint the person you're getting married to as your agent. That's also permissible. So, you know, when I said that you need minimum four people in a gathering, actually, you know, it's good not to, but this is like a ruling which I don't, people shouldn't abuse, but you can technically get away with three people in the gathering. So basically, you're a sister and you want to get married to somebody in America, you phone him or you write. It's always good to do it in writing. Write, make a nice, you know, email. I such and such, daughter of such and such, grandfather's name such and such, this is my address, this is who I am, this is my age, this is my background, write a bit about yourself. I give brother such and such, his name is such and such, etc., living in this country, address, etc., give him permission to marry me off to him. So I am making him an agent to marry me off to him. Sign it. If you can have two witnesses here, you don't necessarily need them, but if you get two witnesses to sign as well, so it's good, but you don't, it's not necessary. And you send that email. Now that brother will, not on Zoom, he will print it out and physically take that letter, okay? And then he'll get two brothers and he'll sit down in a gathering. Now there's three people in that room, physically. He will say, explain to them, those two witnesses will need to know him and they will need to know you, but he will explain to them and you will give your details on the letter anyway. They might actually talk to you on the phone. You could actually talk to them on the phone as well and just tell them who you are. So basically they get an understanding of who you are because they need to, the witnesses need to know who you are. And then that man who you're marrying to will make both statements. So like one person is doing two things. So first he will become you, like his you know, making the offer on your behalf. So he will say, I'm reading out the sister who wants to marry me, her statement. And she has given me permission. She is saying that I give you permission to marry myself off to you in front of the witnesses. This is her statement. This is her sign. So he's made the statement of offer on your behalf. You are the sister in the UK. And then he will make his statement that I have accepted this sister in my marriage. In the presence of two witnesses physically, that nikah and marriage is done. So this is very simple, basically. So this is how a marriage takes place in Islam. So therefore, there's solutions. And you don't need to do it on Zoom or on the phone, etc., inshallah ta'ala. I hope this people have understood. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding of deen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.